You know what time it is.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Jason Anderson.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
There is human error involved in the game. Kids make mistakes. Coaches make mistakes. Yes, officials will make mistakes. That's part of the game. Get over it. Sometimes they're going to go your way. Sometimes they're not going to go your way. Are we going to give God less glory because we lost? And it's only because we win. It's only when we win we give him the glory. Stop. This, grow up. This is part of the game.
Well, we've always said we want to build a program, not just to have a good team. Last year we were right there with the Elite Eight. Here we are a year later. We know the players are going to change because this is college basketball, but I think if our culture stays the same and our expectations stay the same, I think we can be relative in the Big 12. And certainly if you're one of the best teams in the Big 12, you can play on the big stage.
Go after it for all you're worth. You know, I think it's so much about how you prepare, especially in a short amount of time. Everybody who gets to this game or this Final Four has played at such a high level. Plays are going to have to be made. You're going to need incredible mental toughness.
You're in the zone.
In the zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
Make sure I'm not naked or something.
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Hey, let's see how it feels.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville. On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Pat Holmes.
You know, they're like pen pals now. They're like best friends. That Pat DeHolmes and the boy, best friends. They are the very best friends that anybody could have, those two. Yes, they are. Jason Anderson with you. It is a Monday edition of The Zone. It's ESPN 680 105.7. We've got you for the next 3 hours. We head up until 6 o'clock, as we do each and every day. We certainly appreciate you coming along for the ride and hanging out with us. Tons of stuff that we will get into. A lot of college basketball talk, obviously, that will be on the docket today. We'll have a full court press coming up at 4 o'clock. And I think Andy can have some fun with this tomorrow. In the fact that, 5 o'clock on Monday, we typically have Big Easy. Zach McCrite comes in at 5 o'clock on Mondays. We recap the weekend. Maybe we do some funny things. Maybe Zach McCrite throws us off our course. Sometimes those are fun. We do our flow chart at the end because it always weaves and bobs back and forth and all of those things. So this is now 3 weeks in a row that Easy's not able to come on the show. It's three different reasons why he wasn't able to make it. Three different excuses. Sometimes the excuses can be truthful and actually reasons. Sometimes it can be like, oh, sorry, I got to check with the wife. Ooh, sorry, the boy's sick. What are you going to do, man? I mean, there's nothing I can do. So today we're going to have Dave Scullin. We're going to have old Biggest Biscuit in there. So I think Andy might have some fun with that tomorrow.
I'm able to pull something new out of Jason Anderson.
Well, you never know. I don't know what he was meaning by that, but sometimes that happens. 5 o'clock on Monday. We'll do that with Dave Scull today. Okay. We'll pull something new out of each other.
What is radio other than self-indulgence?
That is true. That is absolutely true. So we got tons of stuff to get into. A lot of college basketball today. If you want to weigh in.
Last one.
I don't know much about radio.
There we go.
Perfect.
That fits in perfect here. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. If you want to weigh in, you can certainly do that. Text in. That's typically the best way to get a hold of us. You can call in at 267-9680. We can take your phone calls in the first hour. Again, full court press, 4 o'clock. Dave Scull coming up at 5 o'clock. And I know we will be talking a lot of college basketball with Dave at 5 o'clock as well. I don't know if any Louisville women's basketball fans watched the national championship game yesterday, since it was essentially the two programs that Louisville women's fans hate. And Jeff Walls may or may not have a good relationship with either of the coaches. So I'm not sure about that. But maybe Dave will weigh in on that. I don't know. But we will certainly talk about Virginia and Texas Tech tonight. And all the jokes are there. All the jokes are there. Of course, I tweeted it out after the game was over that Texas Tech beats Virginia 24-21. Jarrett Culver leads all scorers with 7 in the game, which isn't the case, but the over-under is sitting at 118 right now. So it is a very, very low over-under. And I think what seems to be a lot of people are saying, I'll just take the over on that one. I'll take the over. I'll go against the grain. It's such a low under that you feel like they should be able to. But, you know, we'll see what ends up happening tonight with that. 1.5 is the line right now. Opened up at 1 for Virginia. It's moved to 0.5 for Virginia. So moving a little bit away from Texas Tech. But it's essentially a pick 'em. Now you're getting 1.5 if Tech loses by 1, so you could still win. But regardless, it's essentially a pick 'em there. Got some stories from over the weekend. I was not following around Pat Mahomes. I don't care what anybody says.
You're following around Travis Kelce.
Who wasn't doing that either. Mahomes. I was. See, here's the thing. You can make a case they were following me. I sat in one position, and they both came to me. So how would I be following them when all I did was stand outside the Texas Tech locker room at halftime of the first game, and then those guys walked to me?
Like, what? Mahomes.
Actually, it was in between games. Regardless, those guys walked over to me.
Mahomes.
They might not have been walking to me, but they were walking to my location. How am I following them at that point? It's ridiculous. All these accusations that are being thrown around as if I was just fanboying all weekend. One time! One time, you fanboy! And it really wasn't me. It was the boy fanboying, you know? Fanboying for the boy. That's all. That's all it was, you know? It's something he'll have the rest of his life. He won't know if it's true or not. He has to take my word. Pat Mahomes has no idea who he is. But for the 15 seconds that we had our very long interaction between the two of us, eye contact, showed him the picture of the boy. He said, oh, man, that's awesome. It's like, yeah, it is. Bye.
Big deal.
And he walked away. Doesn't mean I was chasing him down or following him or staring at him the entire game. That's not what was going on. Come on. Or Travis Kelce as well. I just want, Travis Kelce.
What color are his eyes?
I don't know. We didn't get that close. We did not get that close there. But yes, that happened over the weekend. Plus, I didn't even see Bo Jackson. I mean, honestly, if you really want to know who I'd be fanboying about, it would have been Bo. Like, legit. Like, I would have been fanboying about. The boy's middle name is Jackson.
Could you see Charles on the sideline from where you were?
Dude,
his reactions?
No. I took video. I legit have video of the last 10 minutes of that of Charles Barkley. We sat.
I'm surprised.
I was probably 50 feet away from Charles Barkley because I was in the front row of the overflow media, which is on the baselines.
Now,
and it was right in front of their location.
There was a guy that was covering Auburn that had put out the video, and he may have been. Because I'm trying to get an idea of. Because I've seen that video. He was directly behind Charles off to the left, maybe 3 feet and probably about 10, 12 feet back. He was closer.
Yeah, that was.
So that was in the media.
Well,
section.
I was as close as anybody in the media or fans.
Okay.
Because there was.
But you were directly behind him.
I was directly behind the basket.
Okay.
Their set was right in front of the basket, right
so
behind the basket, looking back at the
media. YouTube, which I think I retweeted. Then you have an idea of where Jason was at.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't put the video out because I didn't stop recording, and it went like 10 minutes. Like I just kept recording and recording, and I'm like. And then, of course, you know, the last 2 minutes of every college basketball game is going to take an hour and a half. And it ended up taking 10 minutes. And right after the game ended, I did have the picture of Charles Barkley, of him sitting there staring into the abyss. Now, in the video, though, there is Chuck and Virginia fans sort of screaming. I don't want to say screaming back and forth at each other. Virginia fans screaming at Charles. Charles sort of acknowledging them being there. But yeah, I had the whole thing. Charles Barkley pacing back and forth, going through the emotions as if any other fan that was there, not happy about the fact that the foul was called, watching the three free throws, no real reaction when they went in, waiting for the other shot to fall or not fall by Auburn when they had 0.6 seconds left, and then just sort of staring into the abyss. And a lot of the Virginia fans, not Virginia fans, student section that's right there surrounding there. Their location, cheering to Charles Barkley. Not just cheering, but cheering to Charles Barkley when they ended up winning it. And by the way, did you see the Auburn, like Rivals or 24/7's account that tweeted out, I know that people are getting a kick out of this, but the fact that people are taking video of them celebrating and then crying afterwards, that's just cruel. It's not okay. Like, shut up, man.
I wouldn't have seen that if Kyle Tucker didn't take a run at him, too.
Shut
that was fun.
Shut up.
I know.
Your tears are the rest of ours enjoyment. It happens everywhere. It happened with Chiefs fans. We saw all those cheers. Kentucky, North Carolina, the entire country got great joy out of Kentucky fans cheering Malik Monk's shot, and then very, very disappointed almost immediately afterwards that Luke May hit the shot. That was so close between. It took a while for Kyle Guy to hit the free throws, for the timeout to take place, for the shot to be missed,
yep.
And then for you to know the game is over, you lost. The North Carolina Kentucky was immediate. We loved those videos. People shot that directly into their veins.
They did. And here's the thing. If it's
literally.
Yep.
I don't think you can literally do that, but I bet people tried.
Auburn fans especially don't have room to complain because they were just like every other team, university in the country making fun of Virginia last year. Virginia got like the biggest instance of karma in history.
Yeah, that is right. That is right.
Unfortunately, came at Auburn's expense. You can't do anything about that.
You got the kick six. And of course, there's the tie-in that I tweeted. I tweeted it out as it happened. And then I texted Drew this morning that, you know, Dee Ford, who was offsides for my Chiefs, and everybody celebrated that you would just beat the Patriots. You're going to
the
Super
Bowl. It was a musty tweet, but it was a good tweet.
But Dee Ford went to Auburn.
Oh, my God. Like you went to I did not know that connection.
Oh, yeah, Dee Ford went to Auburn.
Oh, my God.
Oh, 100%, yes.
What was that stat?
He played in the national championship game against Mizzou.
What was the stat you had?
I'm sorry, the SEC championship game, and then he played in the national championship game. Boy, that's wishful thinking. The SEC championship game against Mizzou, and then the national championship game in which they lost to Jameis Winston.
There was a stat that you had before the Elite Eight when Duke ended up losing, and it was about the championship winners that had how many like close games they had on their way to it.
Only 5 of the last 15 had a one possession final score to win the national championship.
Virginia's just like busting that wide open.
By the way, before the Final Four.
Before the Final Four.
So the first four wins to get national semifinals and championship, that doesn't count.
Virginia had two before the Final Four?
Boy, I honestly, they had a 1-point win against, was it 1-point win? Because it was... It was an overtime game, so that final score.
Oh, that's a good.
It was just simply the final. So I'm actually.
Did they win by more than a possession?
Not sure, to be honest with you, I'm going to pull up the Virginia.
I think it may have been 77-73.
It was. They beat Auburn's. Yeah, it was 80-75 over the Boilermakers. 53-49 to the Ducks. They beat Oklahoma by 12, and then they survived Gardner-Webb by 15. They beat Gardner-Webb by 15 and Oregon by 12.
They're very close to changing this narrative, and the best argument would have been, well, of course, Virginia has to play these games closer.
Yeah, so neither one of these before the national semifinal played in a one-possession final because Texas Tech knocked off Gonzaga by 6. They beat Michigan by 20. They beat Buffalo by 20. And they beat Northern Kentucky, the Norse, by 15 as well.
I kind of feel like one of the more interesting storylines that's coming out of this Virginia team that is getting downplayed because it's Virginia, and let's be honest, it's a little bit of a boring style of play.
A little bit.
The fact that
Thank you for qualifying that.
Well, especially considering the...
Hedging your bet there for a second.
Especially considering the women's national championship game and the lady whose name I would just butcher if I try to pronounce it from Notre Dame.
Mulkey? Oh, Ogbonwale?
That.
I just took a guess.
Yeah.
I
Ogunbowale, I think.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, however you pronounce her name.
It's pronounced Bendapudi. We're close.
That's fair. True.
We were close.
Considering that she's one of arguably like the 10 best players to ever play college basketball for the women's side of things.
Is she?
I've heard that's what the reaction's been, and I'll trust people to watch this game.
I'll ask Dave. That'll be what we start with.
She was the one that hit the championship game shot last year.
That's
so.
Exactly right. Dave, I need a top 10 women's basketball players of all time in college.
He's screaming at the radio right now. No, she's not.
It's Rebecca Lobo.
But the fact that
it's Sue Bird.
The fact that she goes to the free throw line with the chance to tie the game and just misses the first shot. I think one makes Kyle Guy hitting three all the more impressive. And two, it's even more impressive considering the fact that I think they said that he was diagnosed with an anxiety disorder after last year's loss to UMBC.
Really?
Like, he's legitimately got an issue that prevents him from being able to relax like most people do in those kind of pressure situations, or more so relax than even most people could. So the fact that he goes up there with a diagnosable disorder and still hits three of them, I think that
is might be medicated. That might help the diagnosable disorder. Is it
true?
Is it a public anxiety or is it just general anxiety?
No, there were articles that came out about it that he was diagnosed with it after last offseason.
Zach Greinke had the anxiety in which he was in public and around people, which is, you know, one of those things. It's the reason why he quit baseball for a little bit. People don't remember that in the minor league, Zach Greinke quit baseball.
I do.
And decided that he was going to give it another try, but he quit baseball because he wasn't diagnosed at that point. He didn't realize, you know, that he was dealing with an issue that he didn't know about. It was just he didn't want to be around people. He got very anxious and nervous around other people and crowds. And so he decided he was going to quit baseball and he was going to take his bonus money and he was going to start up a lawn mowing business. And he was just going to be by himself all day just mowing lawns. And eventually they got him checked. They figured this thing out. They dealt with it with medication, with therapy and things like that. He got back into baseball and then he turned into an ace. Phenomenal pitcher and, you know, has made over $100 million in his career. But obviously he didn't know that was going on. So I didn't hear that about Kyle Guy. But I'll say this. The New Mexico State player couldn't hit all threes.
That's
Carson
true.
Edwards didn't, or all three of those free throws. Carson Edwards didn't hit all three of the free throws when he went to the free throw line. That was against Tennessee. They ended up winning in overtime, so it didn't matter. But Kyle Guy and Notre Dame, you mentioned it last night or on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon. What is today? Monday? My days are all mixed up. Yeah, I mean, honestly, people, we can talk about... We can talk about the foul call and the double dribble that was missed and the foul by Auburn before the double dribble and get into those debates as to, you know, more instant replay. We should now instant replay pass interference. Why don't we instant replay double dribble? We should instant replay whether or not it was a travel. Did he carry it? Ah, go to the instant replay. He might have carried it. He held the ball a little bit too long, suspended in air before he dribbled that thing. And all of it gets lost in the discussion with Kyle Guy stepping up and hitting three free throws in that situation where he has to hit at least two. And you know the toughest free throw Kyle Guy will ever make in his life to this point was the first one. He's there for three. He better make two of the three to tie. And if he makes all three, you're essentially going to win because there's 0.6 seconds left. You can't advance the ball like it's the NBA. So you know you're going to win. It's a catch and shoot, and it's a miracle. It's not even a Butler and Gordon Hayward, you know, attempt at a miracle against Duke that bounced off the backboard, hit the rim, and bounces out in 2010. Like, it's not even that. But he steps up and he buries all three of them as if he was just sitting alone in a gym shooting free throws. Like that. The stones.
With the whole stadium booing, pretty much.
I mean, right. And
most of the stadium booing. Well,
I kind of felt like America was pulling for Auburn in that one. Did you?
I know that the entirety of Louisville
felt like
was pulling for
it. Well, yeah, but it felt like even on Twitter, like you felt like there was a feel with the Auburn team of them going on the 12 or 14 nothing run, whatever it was.
I think it's partially being the underdog, partially being the lower seed, and I think partially it's a bunch of different factors. But
Texas Tech and Michigan State were rooting for Auburn, I can tell you that.
For sure. It's also the fact that, let's be honest here, when people are watching it on TV, they want to see exciting. It's people cheer for the home run versus the strikeout, and that's most people. And that's what you get with Auburn. Auburn is a Warrior-style play. People want to see threes. They don't want to see very focused and fundamental basketball. Virginia does not
pivot,
play well on TV.
Triple threat, retreat dribble, crossover, then dribble with the left, stop, retreat dribble, crossover.
I mean, the style of play for Virginia is not something that people want to see.
Well, it also helps when DeAndre Hunter isn't playing at DeAndre Hunter levels.
Who's
that
supposed
is like
to be
the,
their NBA player.
Yeah, that's your lottery pick. And Ty Jerome, who tweeted it out? Did Cooper tweet this out? I want to give credit where credit is due, but he tweeted
if
out.
If it's Cooper, don't give credit.
Well, I give credit wherever if I know. A lot of times I don't remember just because there's so many tweets that scroll through the timeline. Said that Ty Jerome is what everybody thought Kyle Guy was going to be. Which is a great line because that's exactly what ended up happening, is Jerome is the stud and is what makes that entire program tick. And I know the love for Tony Bennett and the love for what he has built, and he got him there and he's coached him up, and Ty Jerome is that guy. It's the extension of the coach on the floor. But he's the main reason why they are in this spot. It's not DeAndre Hunter. It's not Kyle Guy. And those are the guys that you point to when you say, okay, Virginia wins a national championship. How did they do it? DeAndre Hunter's a stud. That's how they did it. Kyle Guy hit big shots because that's what Kyle Guy does. And it's been Ty Jerome who hit big shot after big shot. Ty Jerome fell, was laying on the ground. Now, Auburn, I think it might have been Harper or McConnell or whoever leaked out when the shot went up because they were going to get out and run. That's what Auburn does. And then Virginia got the offensive rebound. Kyle Guy gets up. They pass him the ball, and he buries a three. Like, he shoots a three, and he's laying on the floor when they get the offensive rebound. He picks himself up, catches the ball, buries a three. Or Ty Jerome, I'm sorry. I said Kyle Guy. But Ty Jerome, does that. And he is the reason why Virginia is in this spot. And Chris Beard and Texas Tech, like, there are some stories here that are enjoyable. I have no problem engaging in the conversation about the double dribble or, you know, the foul at the end of the game. But I do feel like, and maybe this is with more social media happening, don't you feel like a lot of people have moved in the direction of, I don't care how much time's left in the game, you call the foul, you call the foul, you call the foul? Like, didn't it used to feel like it was a popular opinion of, quote-unquote, let the players decide the game? And it's like, well, they did decide the game. They fouled. That's what happens. And I feel like things are... Here's a political opinion. What Bernie did for the Democrats and moving everybody left in 2016, and now that's sort of where the base is. I feel like social media may have done with that sort of analogy, comparison, whatever you want to describe it as, of now you see so many people that say, I don't care what time's left in the clock. If it's a foul with 15 minutes to go, it's a foul with 15 seconds left to go. It's a foul with 1.5, with 15 tenths of a second to go. It does not matter, how many seconds are on the clock, you call the foul. And so I don't see nearly as much discussion around that as maybe it's made out to be. Like, I don't really see much pushback, and maybe I'm missing it because I was traveling all day yesterday and then today as well. My choice in having a 24 hours of arriving back home from when I was originally going to arrive back home. Mwah. Thank you, Delta. Appreciate you, everybody. And that ain't sarcasm at all. That is, bills needed to be paid, and they helped us out along the way. I appreciate it. I appreciate you, Delta. Thank you for overbooking your flights twice. Thank you for the wife for being very flexible on allowing me to shut up, Magic. Don't even mark that. Do not give Andy and Locke the pleasure of being able to replay that over and over.
Locke's
got
his own pleasure he's worrying about.
Locke, he doesn't, though. Did you hear the beginning of the show? All he did was complain about they're not playing well in the last part of the game, and they are bums, and Virginia did what Virginia does, and they tried to give it away. I'm like, you're playing in the national championship game. Your team's playing for a national championship. It's crazy. And Andy, he made a great point. It's like, hey, Kentucky and Louisville fans, if you win a game and Locke focuses on the negative about, hey, you didn't win it in the way that you should have won it, he does that with his own team. He's not hating your team when he does that. That's just the way he's wired. He may not be wired like the rest of us, but it's just the way his
brain
works.
You don't hate his bit. You hate him.
That's right. Yeah. Well, no, you should hate the player, not the game, or hate the game, not the player. I should probably know that one.
It's you hate the player, not the game, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yes. So you hate, but you hate. Yeah, babe, you hate the player. You hate the lock. That's what you do. Texas says 437-9680. Jason, you were just like Matt Jones, believing all the other teams only buy the elite players, but PBN, you can't. Oh, that's great, man. What did the over-under we set at by this particular person texting in? What is the over-under? Because it's been like 5 days in a row that it's been before 312. This one was at 310. On Friday was 311. And then it's been like 305 sometimes, 307. It's the same number. I love it. And I feel like it's a tradition to the show that we need to know when he texts in that UK homer take. Texas says, how do you have 15 tenths of a second? Well, it's 1.5 seconds, right? 15 tenths of a second is 1.5 seconds. Just like you can say, well, it's 65 seconds left. That's a minute five. Yeah. Because the texter says, how do you have 15 tenths of a second? There was 1.5 seconds left when he shot the three, right? And then it was 0.6 that they stopped the clock at when they called the foul.
Repeating, of course.
0.33, repeating, of course. Texas says Hunter played like a lottery pick in the second half. He did.
Well, that's a lot better than we normally do.
It is. That's right. Oh, man. Who fouled? Who is it? Dowdy? Samir Dowdy? Guys, I guess we're just going, Samir Dowdy!
Oh my God! He just ran into him.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Let's go, guys! Let's try to. Oh no! We're celebrating! Oh no! No, they lost! We're rolling Toomer's corner! This is not good! This is not good! This is not good, guys! Texas says, I don't think the discussion should be more replay. I hope the discussion trends towards official accountability and maybe even officials being put on the spot a la press conferences, etc. I'm good with
that.
What
do you think, Abdul? Can you give me a number crunch real quick?
Give me a sec. I'm coming up with 32.33
repeating, of course,
percentage of survival.
Well, it's a lot better than we usually do.
All right, thumbs up.
Ready, guys?
Let's do this.
Oh my god, he just ran into him. That's pretty good by you, Magic.
It's
oh my god, he just ran into him.
It's also because it's like, what do you think the chances are that we can stop the shot? Let's see. 32.
Should have been way higher than that as a point, 1.5 seconds, or how much
fair,
was left on the clock? I think they put like an entire second.
Given that it's Auburn's defense that didn't turn somebody over, well, that's a lot better than we normally
do. I mean, we did not turn them over, and we only fouled them and gave them three free throws. It's a lot better than we normally do. Typically, we just give up a layup. Let's see what we're going to... Samir Dowder. And I feel bad because that dude... Man, you want to talk about stepping up even after the game was over and saying, look, man, I mean...
I think Dowder was one of the two Auburn players that I had left in the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
Like it was him and McLemore, I think, were the two I had.
I don't want to... I hate to do that with him because, I mean, kid closed out, you know, too hard on the shooter. You know, Kyle Guy didn't fade away, which seemed like he was going to do. Didn't fade away near to the degree that I thought he was going to, and probably Dowdy thought he was going to as well. And the guy steps up and in the press conference and says, no, I mean, the officials, blow the whistle. They call the fouls. I'm not going to tell the official how to do his job. He's not telling me how to put the basketball in the hole. So I'm not going to tell him how to do his job. I thought Bruce Pearl this morning on Get Up with Mike Greenberg when he said we need to praise God when we lose because it's not just praising God when you win, which is funny. It's like all praise be to God once the praise is to me. Once God allows the praise to come to me, then I praise God.
Without him, I wouldn't. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. That's right. I stepped up and hit these free throws. I want to thank God first. I missed these free throws, so it's just tough. I mean, it's one of those things you got to deal with. What about God? Well, we'll get to him later. We'll get to him later. If I had to hit the free throws.
That's part of the game.
Big guy.
Get over it. Sometimes they're going to go your way. Sometimes they're not going to go your way. Are we going to give God less glory because we lost? And it's only because we win. It's only when we win we give him the glory. Stop. This, grow up. This is part of the game.
I agree.
I didn't know Liberty had made the championship game.
That's right. Yes. But think about like New Mexico State beats Auburn if that guy steps up and hits three free throws. And so Auburn fouls somebody twice, up two with a three-pointer in the air. The first time it happened, that guy only hit one.
The second time
it happened, they hit all three.
Final possession in regulation, I think it was both PJ Washington. It was either both of them or at least I know Travis Reed. If he makes the layup, they don't go to overtime and Auburn doesn't win that game.
Reed Travis.
What'd I say?
Travis Reed.
Reed Travis, yes.
That's fine. And everything comes full circle. Now we go back to preseason.
We didn't know the difference
between the two.
Because they kept putting his like last name first, and just that was so much worse.
Because it's like Washington PJ, Travis Reed. Oh, Travis Reed. Well, no, his name's Reed Travis. Then why'd they write it like that? Well, because his last name first. Like, you're not calling him quickly Emmanuel. Why wouldn't you?
Mr. H. Tyler here.
I need Hero Tyler.
Did you is that a nickname, Hero?
Well, that's sort of interchangeable. Tyler Hero and Hero Tyler. Cause it was that against Wofford and Houston. It was not that against Auburn.
Yep.
Texas says don't hate the player, hate the game. That is exactly right. So don't hate Locke, just hate the way that he presents the show.
That's fair.
But don't hate the show either, because it's a very good show, very entertaining show. But I could not believe this morning that the first thing that they get into is how annoyed he is at Virginia. And I'm like, dude, your team lost to a 16 seed last year and they are playing for a national championship. I don't care how my team got there. I don't care how my team got to a final. I don't care.
From the Missouri perspective, who's never been there.
They hadn't been since 84. They've never played in a national champ. They've never won a national championship.
See, you're in this weird perspective right now where you come from the Missouri and you're like, hey, at least you made it. Whereas right now, Michigan State is on the other perspective and saying, God, I hate that we're here again in the same spot.
Hey, maybe one time, okay, they did it once. Maybe two times, okay, they did it twice. Maybe three times you win that national semifinal game out of, what, 9-3-6 now?
I think he's won it three times. I think he's 1-2. No, you're right. This would be third time. Yep, sorry.
Yeah, this would have been.
I was thinking the tweet.
No, he's been to, what, 8? Final Fours, and he's played in the national championship game twice and won one.
This was his ninth.
Final Four?
I think this was his ninth.
Eight, nine, whatever. You lose count. I know this.
It's that bad. It's not good.
No, it's not good. In fact, it is bad that the national semifinal games. How many times have we said it about Tom Izzo, too? If you needed to win five games to get to a Final Four instead of four, he'd be known as the ultimate choker.
It's also
weird. But you only need to win four. So he gets to the Final Four, Hall of Fame coach. But when he gets there, he loses.
It's
he wins four,
weird,
but can't win five.
Because another tweet I had seen when it was right after the game had gone final, it was talking about the most Final Four appearances by coaches in history. And I think he is now either 1-4-8, because it's like championships to Final Fours made. I think he's either 1-4-8 or 1-9. But we're talking about him because there's a huge difference between having one and having two. We look at it so much worse, but Dean Smith was 3-11. By percentages wise, that's not a whole lot better.
Well, you're not wrong. But Dean has multiple national championships.
Which is the whole thing. It's weird that Izzo, and you've heard like a lot of the coaches, and I think Bob was talking about in the first hour, there is this weird split between coaches saying, look, Izzo doesn't have to do anything further to cement his legacy. Making the Final Fours that many times, it doesn't matter how many times you win the championship. You've got one, that's good enough. Whereas I think, and this has always been the disconnect, I think for fans and for the media especially, there is a huge difference between 0-1 and almost as big of a gap between 1-2.
Well, I mean, 100%. There's like, 15 coaches, as you said. 15 coaches have won.
So I guess what I'm really saying here is that Rick Pitino needs to give back that Hall of Fame ballot. I'm just saying.
He's 1-2.
That's true.
Don't care what the NCAA says. He's 1-2.
I still love whenever they put that up on the banner. It's like Louisville 1-2 championships.
Yeah.
Keep telling yourself that.
1-2-3.
Reggie Bush didn't win a championship either.
I should probably know this since I was at the Final Four. I'm using air quotes here. Covering the Final Four. We weren't really covering the Final Four. We were just there getting interviews and talking college basketball with a lot of different coaches and different players and things like that.
Pat Mahomes.
And Bill Walton. And to watch Pat Mahomes. I was just the correspondent for the parent company. That's all. Like, I was just letting them know what Pat Mahomes was doing. All of that stuff.
Big
you know,
deal.
That's exactly right. I count eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 2-6 in national semifinal games. Can you imagine if he was 2-6 in the Elite Eight?
Oh, I got to get to this text. I'm sorry, because it's going to get you going for a sec.
Nice. I love it.
And by the way, if any of the listeners want to get in touch with us, best way to do that is at the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680. Texter says, Tom Izzo is the LeBron James of coaching. He can get you there, but he can't win.
Yeah, except for the fact that Tom Izzo isn't taking a... Never mind.
No, please, go ahead.
Nope,
go ahead.
Not going to do it.
I threw the stick. You should at least humor me, Jason.
Oh, I did. I humored you for a second. I looked at it and...
No.
And then I stayed back on the porch.
You got the front legs off the porch and your back legs are still up on it and you're like... Now you go get it.
It's an invisible fence. It was a shot collar. All right, I'm back here. Yeah, talking college basketball again. All right. LeBron would have won the national championship if he played college ball. That's what I'm saying. You know who didn't? Zion. Put this up on the Twitter poll. Is Zion going to be to LeBron fans what LeBron is to Jordan fans? Because I think that's the case. Because I think Zion's going to be the younger guys.
Although, to be fair, Kevin Durant did not win a championship when he was in college.
I know, and he didn't win a championship till he joined a team that already won championships.
That's true, because Kevin Durant sucks.
So, yes, if Kevin Durant would have stayed in college but transferred to Duke, actually, you know what? Who won the national championship that year? Now I got to go back and look. I got to go find out. I should know that off the top of my head. What year did Durant play college basketball? I mean, it all runs together, right? Just like this past weekend for me. It all runs together. I don't know. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Is it a Monday? Is it Friday? I'm not sure. You tell me. Let's see. He came out in 2008. So is Kansas. So Kansas won the national championship. What it would be is if Durant leaves Texas and transfers to North Carolina but is immediately eligible. Because UNC played in the Final Four in 8 and then won the national championship in 9. So, I mean, so that would be what Durant did. So, no, he did not win a national championship.
Fan Outfitter Zone question of the day, is Zion going to be to LeBron fans what LeBron is to Jordan fans? That word correctly?
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry, he came out in 2007. I apologize. 2007. Was that Florida? Back to back? Rabbit hole we go. Yeah, it was Florida's back to back. It was the second one. And they beat Ohio State. That would be Durant joining Florida after winning back to back. And then convincing all those guys to stay. Stay around one more year. Let's go. Come on, Joakim Noah. Come on, Horford, stay around. Come on, Green, Quade, not Quade. Different Green. Come on, stay around. One more go. Brewer.
Yep. I'm going to say
Brewer's on that team, right?
We say that seems like something that could never happen again. I think there's a good chance some of the guys on this Virginia team, if they win the championship, are going to stick around. Go one more year.
From what everything I've seen, Ty Jerome and, well, DeAndre Hunter's gone, but Ty Jerome's
Hunter's
gone,
Hunter's probably going to go, but I think Kyle Guy will be there.
By the way, Texas says Dean had the reputation of can't win at all until he did. Nothing changes. Well, that's true. Absolutely. Bill Self had the reputation of can't get to the Final Four till he didn't win a title. Not everybody can be Jim Calhoun. That was 3-for-3 before, ending up losing in 2009 NCAA tournament out in, I don't know where that Final Four was. Does not really matter. You had the reputation of can't win it all until somebody ends up winning it all. Certainly, that's the case. But I do love the Tom Izzo as the LeBron James of coaching. That's pretty good. I mean, look, their reputations are going to be the same. Because we know, I'm not getting into it, of LeBron's reputation. But what I was going to say is we talk about Ty Jerome. We talk about DeAndre Hunter. Look at North Carolina. Look at Duke. Mike DeCourcy has his way too early next year's top 25. He's got Kentucky number 3. He's got Louisville ranked as well. He's got Kentucky number 3. And I bring that up, and this is something we will get into in the offseason, and we will talk about as the national championship game is over and all of that stuff. But we're looking at it specifically from that team. We're looking at it specifically from Louisville's team. And I think we also need to pay attention as to the landscape of college basketball, what's going on elsewhere. Trey Jones hints that he's coming back. Okay. That's huge for Duke, by the way. Because if Trey Jones leaves, I don't think they have a point guard ready to go. And it's probably why Kay would like Trey Jones to return, is because they don't have one in tow right now. They got a number of pretty good recruits coming in.
So would you say that Kay isn't players first?
No. They're going to get the Matthew Hurt kid, and they've got a couple of other, pretty good players as well that are coming in. But they're losing Barrett Reddish and, of course, Zion Williamson. North Carolina losing everybody. Kansas is losing everybody. And, oh, by the way, they might be losing their coach. Okay, that's something, by the way, that was talked about at the Final Four over the weekend. I will say that. I don't know how true it is. I don't know how much smoke or a fire there is to the smoke that's there. But there certainly seems to be some smoke around the fact that Bill Self's done at Kansas and is moving on once some of these NBA jobs start opening up. That is the talk. And I think it's also sort of connecting the dots of the whole FBI stuff's going on. Curtis Townsend, Gasnola. You had Townsend on a wiretap. You had Gasnola testifying about his conversations with Bill Self. You've got Jeff Long, who Bill Self does not like. There are reports that he's not a big fan of Jeff Long, who was football. And he brings in Les Miles, and they're trying to get football rolling there. That ain't the thing. If you're the basketball coach at KU, you don't try to get football rolling. Hell no, you're not taking funds away from the basketball program to support football. That ain't happening. And if you look at the recruiting, it ain't exactly sticking right now. And I think there are people that there's smoke. It might be connecting the dots. But there are people around the AAU circuit that are like, yeah, the recruiting.
I'm a good
happening.
Football coach, and I know how to win games.
That's right. That they're like, he's not recruiting because people around AAU are under the impression that he's not returning there to Kansas. And by the way, if that job opens up, the dominoes. The dominoes then. So what I'm saying is, like, when we see Kentucky and we say, all right, well, how good are they if they don't have a big man? And you see Louisville, if Enoch and Wara end up returning, and then depending on the grad transfer market with point guard, we could end up having here two top 15 teams all season long. Because that super team, the Duke Invitational, in which they did not win it, the North Carolina really good team. And we know, look, anybody can end up winning the tournament. Well, anybody to a certain degree. I mean, we've got Virginia's a one seed, Texas a three seed. So it ain't exactly like this is, you know, Butler making their run, or, you know, Wichita State is an eight seed making their run to the Final Four and you know, leading Louisville by, 12 before the back-to-back, you know, shots by Wichita ends up going in. Like, it's not that. It's a one and a three, but this isn't exactly the profile. Neither of these teams are exactly a profile of a team that you would say, yep, that's winning the national championship. Now, they both have a lottery pick on their team, Culver and Hunter, so that fits the profile to a certain degree. But I guess in the way that sort of they play, the slow it down sort of boring style of basketball, really, you know what it goes back to? It is Bob Knight. It's Bob Knight basketball, where they're going to be physical. They're going to out-tough you. It's going to feel like there are six different guys. The second you get inside the three-point line, it's going to feel like you're going 5-on-6. And the same thing with Virginia, only there's more of a, and this is on the outside looking in. I'm not on the court playing against them, in case anybody was under a false impression. I know. It seems from the outside looking in that there's more of a physical presence with Texas Tech than Virginia. But I don't know. I've never played against Virginia. Maybe people in the ACC would say that's absurd. You've never played against Virginia. You don't know how physical they play. But it seems that way from the outside. That Texas Tech seems like a more physical team, while Virginia seems like more of a, and it's not
a style.
This is totally for lack of a better term, and I apologize, and maybe there's a better term out there to describe it. It seems like defensive finesse versus defensive brute. Two different really good defensive teams that come at it differently.
I think that's fair, because I can't remember who was on the V show. I want to say it was Seth Greenberg, and it was a couple days leading up to the second time that Louisville was playing Virginia. And they made the comment that when it comes to Virginia, what went wrong in the first game for Louisville is that they had gotten up and they had gotten so much confidence in the first half, but just it was the mental fatigue that let them down in the second quarter. They couldn't overcome the mental fatigue of playing against Virginia. When you have national analysts that are making comments like that, I think that points more to what you're saying, which is that it's about a style of play. It's about the finesse of it versus Texas Tech has some dudes. They've got bodies, and they will rough you up a little bit more. I think that kind of was why they played so well against Michigan State.
It's Bob Knight.
Yeah, Michigan State was able to, at certain points, be a little bit tougher than Duke was, and they just weren't able to do that against a team like Texas Tech, who was playing their game, but better than them.
Yeah, I mean, look, Texas Tech plays in the national championship game, Bob Knight returns to Bloomington. Like, what's going on? Like, we're all going back to the 80s again, huh? It's like the 70s and 80s all over again. Let's all go back in time, Doc. Let's get the DeLorean ready. We need that flex capacitor so we can go back to when Bob Knight was accepted there in Bloomington. And he will be again. Mark my words. Bob Knight will step foot on in Assembly Hall again. Bob Knight will step foot on the court in Assembly Hall before he's on the other side of the earth. Other side of the dirt, I should say. Well, the earth is flat, so it would be the other side.
If nothing else, then to flick off the coffins of the different boosters that are passed away.
Yes, well, yes. Texas says,
if Bob Knight comes back to the court, does he spit on it?
Some text coming in. I appreciate it, guys. Texas, Durant's college season was 06-07, Florida 1. That is right. Thank you, sir. Texas says, Kermit the Frog. Oh, wait, Muppet McGraw lost. I like that one. Texas says Jordan Geis still hangs out at his high school to feel cool. Jordan Geis played in the 3-on-3 tournament, 3-on-3 championship that took place in Minneapolis, the Mall of America. He played on the SEC team. I know this is surprising to some, but they ended up losing in like the second round. I can't remember who ended up winning it. I watched the last game yesterday. God, was it yesterday? I guess it was yesterday. I watched the last game. It was in the Mall of America when I was hanging out on Delta's dime there in Minneapolis for another 24 hours. Thank you, Delta. Again, appreciate it. It's bills getting paid around the Anderson household, thanks to Delta and the wife agreeing to let me stay another day there in Minneapolis to go and hang out around Mall of America. Maybe go see a flick. Maybe go to... By the way, if you're in Minneapolis and you're at the Mall of America, there's a thing called Flyover America. And maybe one of the coolest things I've ever done. It was pretty awesome. So I got to enjoy that. So that's cool. But yeah, I watched the 3-on-3 national championship game where those four guys ended up winning $100,000 to split. So that's pretty cool with them. All right, 267-9680 is the phone number, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Musselman, the new Arkansas head coach from Nevada, taking over at Arkansas. You got Buzz Williams heading into A&M. You've got Stackhouse going to Vanderbilt. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Who really knows? And the SEC, I would say, commitment to basketball still continues. Like, was it 3-4 years ago? How many years ago was it where the SEC had like three teams in the tournament? And then they make the commitment to basketball. Frank Martin at South Carolina, Ben Howland at Mississippi State, Kermit Davis at Ole Miss, Rick Barnes at UT, but that was only after Bruce Pearl, but Bruce Pearl at Auburn, whatever Missouri ended up doing, obviously Cal at Kentucky, like, and that's not really where they had to make an effort, but, you know, or approach things differently. But you can tell that there is more of a seriousness and an importance that's now being placed on basketball by the SEC athletic directors, and it has proven out on the court. Auburn goes to the Final Four. Sacramento goes to the Final Four a couple of years ago. Like, we look at different conferences and say, look at all these conferences that are going to, that have different teams in the Final Four. But over the last few years, you know, I mean, I know Kentucky hasn't been there in 4 years, so good night. But if you go over the last 4 years, how many different SEC teams have made it? Is it just Kentucky, Auburn, and South Carolina that have ended up making a Final Four? Is there anybody else I'm missing in that group? Certainly not UT. Was Missouri there? Nope, they weren't. They weren't. Arkansas, nope, they didn't. A&M, nope, they did not. But they got three. And we're, what, a few years removed when they got three in the entire tournament? And they've got three over the last 4 years, that different teams that have made the Final Four. And those are coaches that were pretty damn successful when they were hired. Kentucky, Cal, that's going to happen anyway. But Sacramento goes out and gets Frank Martin, and then Auburn gets Bruce Pearl. And they both go to the Final Four 2 years apart or 1 year apart. Sacramento, a couple tournaments ago, and Auburn this year. And now they're still going out and making the commitment to hire good coaches. Buzz Williams, a really good coach, will have A&M, would guess, in the tournament here very soon, probably next year. And Musselman's a better coach than Mike Anderson. Flux capacitor, not flex capacitor. Well, you know, it's on steroids. You know, it's that Jose Canseco way of approaching capacitors, you know. It's, you know what it is? It's a very cocky capacitor. Some of them flux. This one happens to flex a little bit, you know. It's a very confident guy. Texas says the SEC is the second best basketball conference right now. I think they're getting close to making that distinction, making that claim. I mean, because Texas Tech goes to the Final Four from the Big 12, and it helps that there's another team making the Final Four, making the championship game outside of Kansas. For a long time, it was just Kansas. So the Big 12 was like the West Coast Conference to a degree when it came to teams in the Final Four. They were Gonzaga and Kansas, and that's it, and everybody else. It's like, well, no, they had other teams. They were good teams. They were making runs. Yeah, but they didn't win a regional. Okay, they didn't win a regional final. It was Kansas and Gonzaga. Those were the teams that made regional finals. So you had the Big 12 and the West Coast Conference, sort of the same thing. ACC had different teams. Big 10's got different teams. Pac-12, Conference of Champions, Bill Walton. I'm not really sure. They went to three in a row with Ben Howland at one point. Now they can't find a coach. So I do think the SEC is moving up very quickly because you're getting the coaches, and the coaches are getting the recruits. Because you look at the top 100 players, the SEC, didn't they have the most? Top 100 or top 25 or something like that. There was a stat. I saw it at one time. I wrote it down. I forgot it. Now I'm just regurgitating it just as, you know, what I think may be true. I think they had like 95 of the top 100 recruits to the SEC, and Duke had the others. Not really sure. We'll still get into Virginia and Texas Tech coming up tonight. I want to get into the over-under on Chris Beard at Texas Tech, because he's proven you could win a national championship at Texas Tech, but it's still Tech. They're allocating a lot of money to basketball now. They're building stuff for him, so they are giving him the resources to win. He's getting players to Lubbock, Texas. But again, it's still Texas Tech. It's not a blue blood. It's not that prestige of coaching at a Duke or a Kansas or a Kentucky or a Michigan State or a Louisville or even to some degree at one point, Indiana. Maybe they'll be back to that. We'll see. All right, 267-9680 is the phone number. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line, Texas says, and also Georgia got Tom Crean. That is true. And for some reason, there is a Twitter poll out there that says, is Pat Mahomes kind of overrated? So that came straight from Andy Sweeney, obviously. So Andy Sweeney texts Magic Mike to put that up there, and then Magic Mike goes right to the Twitterverse, because he'll do whatever Andy asks him to do. So goes right to Twitter and puts that up there, even though that it was no part of this conversation at all. More Zone next.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Welcome back to The Zone, presented by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Jason Anderson.
All right, we continue. It's ESPN 680, 105.7. Jason Anderson with you. We got a full court press coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. We will head to Virginia. We'll head to Lubbock, Texas, where I am told that Aaron Dickens, who is our guest in the full court press from Red Raider Sports, is not actually in Minneapolis. And that's too bad. Minneapolis was just fine. It was just fine. It was okay. It was. I mean, I wouldn't exactly put the Final Four back there anytime soon, but it was okay.
You going to give him the Dickens over not being there?
I would appreciate it if you slapped yourself. Thank you, Magic. He did. He actually did it. It's a fine place. It's a fine place. But here's always my rule with Final Four cities, and that is, what's the fan experience like? And I like when Radio Row is done on Friday, on Saturday I typically go and try to check out the city. A lot of times we'll do a show that Saturday. We ended up doing a 3.5 hour bonus hour because we ended up having 21 different guests on Thursday and Friday, which was a pretty cool couple of days. So Westwood One absolutely killed it, and we appreciate them for bringing all of those people over and hanging out with us. So Saturdays I like to go and check out the city and see what it's like. And San Antonio was awesome. You walk everywhere. The Alamo was right there. The convention center was right next to the dome that they played in. And so I like to get the feel of it because, as I've said, it's not just your team making the Final Four to get the full experience if you're going to go there and support them and hang out. It's also the city that they make the Final Four in. If it's in Houston, well, good luck. Enjoy. You know what? If it's in Houston, hope your team makes another Final Four. Save the money. Hope they make another Final Four in a better city. That's not spread. Like, honestly, Houston might be fine for people that are from there and live there. But if for hosting a Final Four, everything's, a half hour away. So it's like, hey, I want to go over here. Well, good, 45 minutes on the highway. Oh, I want to go to the arena. Good, 45 minutes on the highway. Oh, I want to go downtown to the convention center where the Fan Fest is. Okay, 45 minutes on the highway.
Is Atlanta much better, though?
Atlanta's better.
Okay.
Atlanta's better. San Antonio's the best. Indianapolis is right there. Indianapolis, San Antonio, I'm good with either one of them. Phoenix was fine. It was a little bit of a drive, but it wasn't terrible. Because they had a lot of the stuff downtown, and then they just had the arena dome. But regardless, Atlanta's better. But Minneapolis was sort of the same thing. The Mall of America's, with all the traffic, 30 minutes away. The convention center is going to be, with all the traffic, you're not going to really just walk between the two. And you know why you're not going to walk between the convention center and the arena? Because it's 40 degrees and rainy. They're getting a foot of snow on Thursday. So, disaster was avoided by that crazy winter storm in April happening a week before. Full court press next.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.